Hello there and welcome to the A to D talk show, where we talk about controversial issues and deliberate on them. We believe that the world is like a coin and it is best to see both sides of it. So come on, join us as we agree to disagree.
This is Agree to Disagree talk show for our audience who are very much here. We appreciate you for your loyalty. And we appreciate you for always finding our time on Saturday to come and listen to our guests and contribute to the talk show. Remember that this is A to D talk show where we talk about controversial issues and deliberate on them. And we give you the opportunity to make a decision. So today we are talking about a very important topic, toxic masculinity, the making of men. And when we first started talking about this topic at first, me and my team, we found it hard to find someone to speak on it. But we thank God that we have Nandi here, who shares a few with me, Noya. So Nandi, you have a minute or two to just introduce yourself and then we'll kick in.
Okay. So my name is Nandi Ahara. I'm a lawyer with the New Atlantic Law in Abuja. This is my first time on Agree to Disagree show, and I'll be speaking on toxic masculinity, the making of men. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so thank you. You all, once again, thank you very much, Nandi. So let's get into it. So the first question I actually have on this topic, toxic masculinity, is what is toxic masculinity? Can you just give us a holistic view of what toxic masculinity is about?
Okay. So we understand what toxicity means. It means something that's hazardous, something that is dangerous, something that's twisted. We understand what masculinity is, the state of being a man, the state of manliness, supposedly. So when we combine the two words together, what we understand is toxic masculinity is a harmful perception of what a man should be, of what a man should do. A social stereotype, of what a man should do and what a man should act or how a man should behave, what a man should be basically. And it has very serious, far-reaching consequences to both the man, both fellow men and on women.
Okay, so you said a social stereotype. So this means that in the making of men, there is a great portion of the society. The society plays a great portion in this narrative of toxic masculinity, right? You agree? Yeah, so definitely. How do you think the society plays a role in this? I mean, how do you think the society helps to fire up this toxic masculinity in society today?
Okay, so it starts off really early. You are born a male or you are born a man, and you have no idea how a man is supposed to behave, but you have older men in society, you have uncles, you have your father, you have other men in society, you have your classmates and your peers. Yeah. And from your interaction with these men at such a tender age, they begin to restrict what you should do and what you can do. They begin to instill certain ideas. Yeah. This is what men before you have done. This is what men right now are doing. And this is what you will do when you become a man. Yeah. So society plays a very, very pivotal role in shaping the perception that men have about themselves.
So when I did a study on this, the toxic masculinity of men, and I read a report from the Atlantic. Maybe you may know them, they're just, it's a news outlet in America, and they were talking about how the notion of toxic masculinity comes from men being told not to express emotions, being told not to being told to be aggressive, being told to be logical, I mean, don't have any form of emotions and all those stuff in between. And actually, the issue we have right now is how can you differentiate between when someone is being a man, because whether we can both agree that there are things that come by for men easily than come by for other genders or for women, but you know, we're in a world where there's so many other genders. But okay. The point is, there are things that come naturally to men than other genders, right? So when does this attitude of being, trying to be strong, trying to be defensive, trying to be aggressive, become toxic? And the reason I'm saying this is this. Why you're about to answer my question, I just want you to bear in mind a few things. We have a society that when there is war, men are being asked to leave whatever they're doing and go to fight. We have evolved as a society where when an intruder comes into the home, the man is supposed to defend. We have this has been installed into the fabric of the society. So now my question is, when do we in our natural genital code, when do we in our expression of our natural genital code, when does it become toxic?
Okay, so I think it becomes toxic when the effects become negative on the people around us, on ourselves, and the ones we love. I think we'll look at the effect. We'll look at the effects and what it does to people around us. Yeah. That's the major difference between the normal masculinity and then toxic masculinity.
Okay, so what...
For example, you gave an example.
Yeah, continue. I gave an example.
Okay, you gave an example of warfare. The effect there... Someone is protecting his fatherland or protecting his family. Now, in toxic masculinity, the effects are different. You have violence against women, against children, against other men for no reason, unnecessary aggression. So I'll differentiate it by the effects.
Okay, so it is evident that when it comes to defending the society and defending the home, that's a man's responsibility.
Society has made it that way.
Well,
society has made it
that way. No. So, society has made it that way. So, if the society has made it in such a way that when there is an intruder, when it's time for warfare, men should stand up to the defense of women, their family, and the nation at large. So, are you saying that it is, if the society begins to say, you know what, when it's time for war, all men sit at home, women should go to war and protect the nation and protect the family. Are you saying that that is going to create a balance? And are you saying that if we begin to pursue that narrative, are we going to have what they call toxic femininity?
Okay, so I would like you to understand that even in our current modern world, women are allowed to participate in war.
Yeah, true.
Most often than not, the reason why women do not actually participate in warfare and in some of the other instances you mentioned are because men feel it's a right for them to do this. They would not want their women to
bring it. Okay, I mean, that's pretty much, if you want to look at it that way, but I'm going to say something that I hope what I'm going to say is not going to be misconstrued by my audience here and my audience on the podcast.
Okay.
So, when we look at sports, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Right? And we look at the engagement of the World Cup, men's World Cup, and look at the engagement on females' World Cup. These are two equal activities, same rules, same principles, but different, they have different traction in the society. Now, I'm getting somewhere, right? Exactly. So, when you look at the audience that come for the World Cup, you don't see all men. I mean, World Cup True. For men is not all. You see women, you see people who are vibrant. And when we come to the female World Cup, cricket sounds. I mean, now, you now begin to see... people like Morgan saying they want equal pay. Now, the question I want to ask is this. Can we look at the society and judge women and men equally based on every standard? Based on every single standard. Now, we know that there are things that come naturally to men and there are things that come naturally to women.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
Now, but do you think that a society should create a flat hierarchical system where women and men are judged equally, which means that instead of us having men's football, we'll just have football where maybe the striker is a woman, the defender is a man, and all. So,
yeah.
That's a very tricky question. So, yeah.
One thing we should bear in mind is that biologically, men and women are different. Your hormones are mostly composed of testosterone. Testosterone helps you have bigger muscles, helps you have more strength. It's why men are preferred on the battlefield. Now, there are women in some rare instances who have such high levels of testosterone, and it reflects even in their physicality and in their build. And you would not expect every woman whose hormonal construct is mostly estrogen to compete. It wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be equal. So I'm saying in some instances, we can't have that equality because of the obvious difference in our biology.
Yeah.
For example, it will mean men will have to get pregnant and raise the family or give birth.
Yeah.
It will mean men will have to experience periods and cramps. So biologically, we are already different.
Yeah.
So one thing I like to say is that I advocate for a society where there's equity. Each gender is given a chance to function at their optimum best.
Yeah, so we digressed a little to feminism and equality. Now, so back to the toxic masculinity, right?
Yeah.
So just a bit of question: when you talk about social stereotypes and how men are being asked to suppress their emotions, I mean emotions of weakness emotions, because anger is also an emotion, but weakness emotions like tears, yeah, sorrow, and all this stuff. Do you think that if a male child is trained and he's exposed to an environment where an environment that is devoid of this toxic masculinity, and do you think he's going to end up coming out as being better than other men who are in the environment where toxic masculinity is the main thing?
But that's a very... So I would approach it this way. Like I said, the effects. Would that man come out and be a better understanding man? Would he be a man whose manliness is mostly introspective and honest? Or a man whose manliness is in the show of aggression, the suppression of his emotions that because he considers them weakness? The effects, who would be more capable in a functioning society? Who would be a better father? Who would be a better parent? Who would be a better spouse? So I'd like to look at the effects always. I think someone who has... Okay.
No, continue. I'm listening to you, Namdi. Someone who has...
Okay. I think a man who has rid himself of toxic masculinity is actually a better man.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I honestly agree with you on that. And so in the you said so much about the effects, and so my question is, can you give in the modern day world and maybe in Nigeria or in the modern day world generally, the negative effect of toxic masculinity?
Okay. So before I talk about the effects, I'd like to talk about a bit more of the characteristics of toxic masculinity. You mentioned one, suppressed emotions,
yeah,
or masking discomfort or masking distress. Okay, that's one example. A second characteristics of toxic masculinity is hypersexuality or virility. A man is expected to be sexually vigorous. You should have sexual prowess. A third example is the idea that certain things fall or will make a man effeminate. For example, cooking is an effeminate task, cleaning, hair braiding, makeup, the color pink, even being extremely fashionable.
Yeah,
they feel it will make you effeminate. So these are all like aspects where toxic masculinity.
You also have things like men being chauvinism. Call it chauvinism. that's also a characteristic of toxic masculinity.
Of toxic masculinity, yes. Yeah. So back to the effects. I think the effects are actually far-reaching, starting from yourself, even down to the members, other members of the society. From yourself, who is, and okay, what actually makes, I think, okay, for me to talk about the effects, I'll talk about someone who has not been able to meet up to this societal standard, this perception of what a man should be. What are the effects? If, as a man, I have fallen short of the standards set by other men, falling short of the standards set by society, the first effect is that I become a target for bullies. I become a target for people who feel I'm not up to the standards. Cut him out, kick him out. What's he doing here? He's not a man. He's a weakling. One, it also makes me insecure. I become insecure about my appearance. I become insecure about my sexuality. I become insecure about life. And who question their manliness tend to exhibit more macho behaviors just to overcompensate. So yes, that's one of the effects for people who have not been able to meet up to that standard. Now, the funny part is, in trying to become more masculine or in trying to exhibit more macho-ness, sort of, they tend to become aggressive. And this aggressiveness is partly what is responsible for the fact that more men commit violent crime than women. That you can't open up to talk about these things also means that you have no one to talk to. It contributes to mental illnesses.
Yeah. So
I don't know if I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. My network seems to be very ridiculous right now. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I think there was a little break. I can hear you.
Yeah, so I'm okay now. I'm back on 4G. Okay. So I get your point, right? And I also want to say something else. You made very salient points on this whole the characteristics and the effects. Now, but when you come to the society, the same modern society that complains about toxic masculinity, that complains about how men tend to be hypersexual and everything you mentioned. But when you begin to look at the way the society treats women and see the variance between that and men, I'll say this. You know,
okay,
statistics has it that a man is two or three times more likely to have a greater sentence for the same crime he committed than a woman.
Sure.
Now, a man is many more times more likely to commit suicide than a woman. But then, let's say, okay, no, suicide is him, personal decision. But you see, a man is more likely to be suspected of evil or committing crime than a woman. And when you begin to see the society placing this form of, I won't say criminality, but form of this stereotype around, the man is wearing a black hoodie and wearing, he's a criminal. Or when he's before a jury, he's more likely to get a harder sentence. And when we see all this in society, the same society that imposes all this bias on men, it's the same society that complains of toxic masculinity. Now, if you look at a situation where men are being asked to, like you said, that when a man sees, when men begin to see cooking as him not being manly enough, you gave such characteristics of toxic femininity, right? Yeah. Of toxic masculinity, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so, but again, when I look at the society, and I'm using Nigeria and I use America, you see that in as much as the cooking could be a thing that toxic males be like, no, I'm not going to cook. I mean, that's a woman thing, right? Then the next issue that I The next question I ask people is, how come the one of the best chefs in the world or in a particular society are men? Do you get? So I'm like saying, so balance me up on that. Where you say, when men are talking, men are saying, no, I'm not going to cook, cooking is for women. And then when I say, okay, fine, I agree with you that cooking is for women, right? And excuses you want to give in between. But when we now begin to look at chefs that work in big restaurants and big hotels, you begin to see more men as chief chefs in those restaurants than women. So, I mean, do you have anything to say about that?
Well, it just basically proves my point that cooking is not a gender task.
Yeah,
anybody can be a good cook. So men who say they can't cook because it's a woman's task, they are doing a great disservice to themselves. I feel like if men try, anybody can be a good cook. If you're a woman and you cook, you can be a good cook. If you're a man, you can be a good cook. So it basically just proves cooking is not a gender task. Yeah. Anybody can be good at cooking. Anybody can be good at cooking, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Do anyone has a question from the audience? I mean, you can put it in the chat. We are having a whole lot of conversation on this. So, do you think, this is another question I have to ask you, do you think that men maybe, or men make better leaders than women? Now, hold on. I need to craft this question well. Because when we look at the entire history of, when you look at the entire history of nations and societies, you see men always in the top leading and all. And then my question to you is, do you think that it is in nature, because we agree that there are things that come natural to men, right? So do you think that
leadership
role may be one of the things that come naturally to men?
Okay, in answering your question, I'd like to point out that in the course of time, for years, women have been suppressed. In some countries, women are not allowed to go to the cinemas. Women are not allowed to drive cars. In some countries, women have just been recently allowed to vote.
Yeah.
So they have a long way to catch up. Men have been running things for a long time.
Yeah.
So, but I can give you an example. Germany is run by the Chancellor of Germany. It's a woman. And Germany is a world power doing very, very well for themselves. I'll tell you that if you check statistics, countries ruled by women are actually doing very well for themselves.
True.
As compared to countries that are ruled by men.
True.
So I think if they are given more chance, if they are given more chances and more opportunities, they will do well.
They
are trying to catch up.
Yeah, I agree with you. Even on the on companies that have women, more women as board of directors, tend to see better profit margins than companies that have most men as their board of directors. But again, someone has a question for you here. Why do men always think they are right? Why do men always think they are right because they think they are leaders? I mean, Sarah, I don't know. Do you understand the question? Why do men always think they are right because they think they... Is this a question? I mean, there's a question mark, so I don't know if you want to...
Okay, so I think maybe from what I understand, most men are entitled. Come on, we've been having it going our way for like a long time. Most men are entitled. So, like, of course, an entitled man always feels he's right. He would not want to listen to any other person's opinion. You feel like you are the alpha, and then whatever you say has to stand, even if you are wrong.
Okay.
So, it's an exhibition of toxicity too.
So
feel like you are right, to feel entitled.
So, how do we fix this toxic masculinity in the society? How do we fix it?
So, I feel men should be more honest with themselves. I feel manliness should be introspective. If my manliness can be affected by my environmental situations or by like extrinsic factors, then am I really a man? Manliness is innate. So I feel it starts with being more expressive, first of all. You should understand that your emotions are valid and should be expressed. When you suppress your emotions, it gets to a point where it has to, like, explode, like volcanic eruption. So we have to come to terms with our emotions and understand that our emotions are not weakness. So when you feel hurt, speak out. When you feel discomfort, speak out. And we should also try to teach our children and our younger ones, because toxic masculinity is apparently reinforced by society. So if we have a new wave where men understand themselves and at peace with themselves, and then they teach the younger generations also a new way of being a man, a new way of being a man, by being honest with yourself, by understanding your masculinity is innate. You don't have to prove it to anybody.
Also, I think we need to be very careful so we can draw a line between toxic masculinity and actual masculinity, right? Because what I see most in the society is when people tend to start to fight against toxic masculinity, they now dive deep into fighting masculinity, right? So where do you draw the line? Because you said something, you made mention of how we fix this. And from what I get from what you spoke about is what men should do for themselves in trying to fix the issue. But remember, from the beginning, we all spoke about how this thing is being induced from a boy. As a young male child, you already have this stuff in you already. People are already telling you, no, don't cry. If Nkechi is crying, you also cry. No, those kind of things, right? Now,
you shouldn't cry.
Yeah, you shouldn't cry. You should be bold and all. And okay, he grows up to, you know, his life suits that narrative. And then he wants to become, I mean, this guy is about to, you know, get into a relationship or get into marriage or something. And you see the women in the society, girls in the society begin to set standards again. So the standard begins to set is, if he doesn't have $1 million in his account, no. If he doesn't, so again, you see a lot of people, even when we are trying to say, okay, you know what, I wouldn't have to make obvious claims, like you said, extrinsic factors to show that I'm a man. I don't have to be aggressive to show that, right? But then you begin to see women begin to exacerbate this issue, especially in our society where they say, oh, like you said, the word pink. Now, let me tell you, if a guy wears pink and goes outside, yes, it is okay for maybe men may now say, oh, why are you wearing pink? But you will see that he will get more, he will have more conversations or get more interactions or conversations from women. Come on, be a man, or come on, be something, or come on, you don't, you know. And it just puts the situation in a circle where you're trying to be who you are. Like you said, be expressive. I mean, if you want to cry, cry. And I support that. If you want to be emotional about things. But when you now start becoming emotional about things, the people that told you to be emotional about things now begin to tell you, no, come on, you a man. And what do I do? Do you get? So, I mean, where do we draw this line? Where do we draw this line of toxic masculinity and masculinity?
So you would also remember that in raising children, most times, not just the father and the uncles, the aunties, the mother also play very, very critical roles. So you have a mother who is telling her son, don't wash plates because plates washing is for girls. It's for your sisters. They will wash plates. Go and sit down. This is something she has been used to, something that has also been ingrained in her. She has come to expect certain characteristics from a man. And then she's also forcing that same standard on her sons. It all boils down to everybody changing their perception and understanding what a man should actually be. So if we have mothers who are conscious and understanding, okay, I want my son to be I've experienced toxic men. I've been a victim of toxic men. I want my son to be different. I want my son to be that change. I don't want my son to be toxic man. That would also help in the expectation of what daughters have come to expect from men. We have trained our daughters to to believe that their man should come fighting for them. If someone beats your sister in school, your brother.
And if you do not come fighting for them, that becomes.
These are some of the expectations. It's a man's duty to pay the school fees. It's a man's duty to run the home.
But do you think enforcing the man's responsibility?
You can't understand, man.
Just let me just hold you on that, sorry, Namdi. But do you think that a man having societal responsibilities like paying school fees, coming, protecting the child and the family, is an effect of toxic masculinity? Because you need to know that there are responsibilities. There are responsibilities that, I mean, men have. There are responsibilities they have, not just in the society, but there are responsibilities they have in the family. Yes. Their family, their gender roles. Since I've been having this conversation, okay, I have tried not to use the word gender roles because, boy oh boy, we're in 2020 and there are over 50 genders, right? But I'm saying their responsibility is that men are obligated to carry out in the family, maybe not in the society, but in the family. For example, there is, we during the COVID-19 lockdown, we started having people invading into people's homes and into estates. Maybe you heard of the story here in Lagos about what they call it, the 1 million boys. I mean, and when security was breached in a particular estate, guess who stood up to the game? It was guys, men. So the truth is, them standing up to defend their community and them carrying out family responsibility and societal responsibility, can this be categorized as toxic masculinity?
Okay, so like I said in the beginning, it all boils down to the effect. In that scenario, what was the effect? Safety for family and loved ones, protection from bandits, protection from invaders. In that scenario, there was no negative effect. Now, it would shock you that if I have women who are trained to be fighters, if I have women who have maybe studied Kung Fu or Tai Chi or one of the fighting styles, it would be interesting to know that they would be able to defend themselves and their families.
True.
So,
why would they have to go...
Testosterone also makes men stronger.
But why would they have to go through Tai Chi lessons and Kung Fu lessons for them to stand up to the game? Is it? Do you think it's because of the genital code?
Yeah, like I said, biologically, we're different. Testosterone means you would power lift for 5 days and you have bigger muscles. A woman might power lift for 5 days and she might not see that much change in her. So testosterone also plays a very, our biological differences play very, very important roles.
Okay, but then you talked about the effect, saying that if the effect is negative, you have a question, but let me just say this. You talked about the effect and saying if the effect is negative, then it's toxic, right? Now, I would want to question a whole lot of things. The first thing is, let's look at the effects that it has on men. Now, a man is being told that he's supposed to take care of his child, his children, he's supposed to care for his family. So the man becomes under so much pressure to make money, right? Make money to feed the family. Mm. And when he doesn't meet up to the standard, I mean, we hear stories of women leaving men who are not able to live up to financial standards and all. But the question I have is, when people call out men on their responsibility, which is, why don't you go and take care of your child? Or why don't you have... why don't you protect your children, or why are you not a responsible father? When we have the society calling out men to carry out their responsibility, and when they are being looked down upon when they don't carry out responsibility, do you think those things have effect on toxic masculinity? And your answer is going to lead to another question that,
like I said, most of what we think a man should do, most of what we think a man should be, is constructed by society. over years of evolution and evolution. For God's sake, we are not in the Stone Age where the father has to go out to farm and hunt and everything and come back. With the advent of feminism, women have been exposed to jobs. Women are working. So I feel if we are clamoring for equality or equity, raising a child, taking care of a child is not the sole responsibility of the father. It takes two to make a child. So.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. But when you talk about financial, but do you think that there are responsibilities that are unique to the man in the light of parenting?
Wow, responsibilities unique to a man. Well, I'll give an example myself. So obviously, I know that I am not married yet, but I'm not married yet, but whoever I decide to get married to would understand that, okay, yes, personally, as a matter of personal conviction, and still because I'm a product of a society that has placed some responsibilities on men, I would definitely want to foot those responsibilities. And all of this change we are speaking about will not happen at once. It's going to be a gradual evolution, gradual change. Men will begin to understand, okay, yes, I can do this for my family. My wife can also do this for my family. I don't think I'll cook for my family. By God's grace, I'll cook for my family.
Yeah. I mean, for the one on cooking, I mean, I think the whole concept of people seeing cooking as just a woman's thing, I think it's just ludicrous, honestly. Everybody's born to eat. So if everybody's born to eat, and everybody born should eat. So if everybody born that eats, then everybody should cook. I mean, so I don't, the whole point of all women is ridiculous, but I digress. You have a question. Based on, I don't know whether he says, based on this point, okay, no, sorry, first question. But how is the ones, I want to believe that's ones, he's trying to say, how is the ones of displaying emotions fall on men when men that are characterized, Hamed, I don't really. Do you get a question? You can see the question.
Let me see. I think I can see the chat box. Okay, it says, but how is the onus of displaying emotion fall on men when men are categorized? Okay.
How is the onus of displaying emotion fall on men when men that are characterized as sensitive are viewed as a lower tier men by women?
Tier men by women, yes. True.
Yeah, so that was the same point of who, by the way, are the people men are told to change, accommodate, or be better partners to. I mean, this is exactly the same point I told you about. Like, you know, women talk about toxic masculinity, oh, show your emotions, oh, do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And the moment you start doing 1, 2, 3, 4, and they're like, are you not a man? So again, you're being very, 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 very confused as to, I don't understand.
Like, what do women want?
Exactly. Do you get? So you see, something happened. I would give a very personal encounter on this topic so we get a better understanding of it. So two things, actually. The first time, I was on a bus. No, I wasn't. I think I was at the reception where there were limited seats for a number of people. And I was fortunate enough to be sitting on one of those seats. And I think there was a lady who was standing just beside me. And I sat for 30 minutes. And while I was sitting, I was thinking, I mean, should I stand up for this lady or I shouldn't? I mean, I was just trying to. In my moral and my moral conscience, I'm like, you know what? Please, you want to sit down? I stood up and asked, do you want to sit down? I was like, so you think I cannot stand for so long? And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I just feel like you have stood for so long and I'm okay sitting down and I think I can stand longer. I just want to offer you a seat. And I'm like, that's one thing about men that you all think that you guys are. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm sorry. I sat down back on my seat. That was one experience. Another experience that happened was a particular lady tweeted on her Twitter saying that when it is cold, that is during winter and men don't wear sweater, it is toxic. And I'm like, okay, maybe I have to think deeply wow. about it. That,
wow.
And that, I'm like, so what exactly do you, now, it is toxic for men not to wear sweater in the cold. I'm like, okay, I get the point right now, right? You try to be gentlemanly to women and they see it as you trying to play you being a sexist or something. And the moment you say, you know what, I don't care. I just be myself. And then these people say, oh, you know, a gentleman. And then we become confused as to what exactly do you even want. So this is one thing. So his next question, I think the next question is a follow-up, unless you have something to say.
Okay, I'd want to say that it affects everybody. Even the change you are clamoring for, women have a role to play. For example, when you become a bit more expressive in your emotion, oh, babes, I don't like how you spoke to me. I feel hurt by this. Mm. She'll be like, why are you nagging? And you are trying to be expressive, trying to communicate, so you don't bottle things up. So women also have a role to play. Their perception towards men has to also change. Yeah. You should understand he's not a robot, he's not stone. He's going to have emotions.
Yeah.
If you don't want him to have a mental breakdown all of a sudden or have difficulties of communication in the relationship, he's got to express himself.
Yeah, so thank you for that. Based on this point, this is a follow-up question. Does this mean that by switching roles with regards to security and safety, we'll be agreeable for the sunset way? Okay, Ahmed, you got us there, right? Okay, so I think you should answer this. So let me read it out for people on the podcast so that they can get the question. So Ahmed is asking, based on this point, that is the point of women looking at men who express their emotions as being lower tier men, does this mean that by switching roles with regards to security and safety, will be agreeable for women to behave in the exact same way a lot of men act today? So what he's trying to say is, if women begin to act like men, is it going to be something we should all accept?
I would like to point out that the aggression that seems to be innate in men.
Are you saying aggression is innate in men?
I said it seems to be innate.
Okay.
Society believes that men are innately aggressive.
Yeah.
I believe it's all part of social conditioning. If you train a man to be a soldier and you train a woman to be a soldier,
yeah.
When it comes to the war front, both of them will pull the trigger.
True.
So I'm trying to say whatever conditions you've been exposed to are exactly what will shape you into becoming what you are. So if a woman wants to be a security, feels she can handle security, why not? Who is stopping her?
I mean, there are a lot of people in the military that are women. Yeah.
Exactly. So nothing is stopping her. I feel in this day and age, there's freedom. Every people should do what they can do.
All right. In this same question, I think what I think, let me just make a scenario out of his question. So two people are married. Two couples are married, a man and a woman. And then there is problem, someone is trying to get into the house, an armed robber, a thief. His question is, do women think is normal for a man to be like, man, I think you can go get a dog. I mean, you can go out and check. I won't go and do that. I mean, because it is natural for a man to stand up and figure out, oh, okay, what's going on? Oh, who is getting to our home? So he's asking, he brought up another question. Kindly know that the above point is based on your point about gender role and how some things are expected from men. Okay, so same point. So I'm asking you, Nnamdi, it is seems like the responsibility of a man to protect the home. So the moment the man decides not to protect the home or decides to say, you know what, for as regards protecting the home, I think the woman should take the responsibility. do you think it is his accent, is it going to be agreeable for women? Yes, asking you, is it going to be agreeable for women to carry out security role? Security role meaning protecting the family when men are very much prevalent in that relationship.
Before we talk about security, I'll give you another example. For example, we have families where the men are out of jobs or are not working or are just grossly irresponsible. They don't want to care for their family. And we have women standing up to the challenge and going out to fend for their family. So I feel it all boils down to, can she do it? Does she have the capacity? It all boils down to capacity. So if your woman can do security, by all means, I'll give it a very good example. No woman will see her child being attacked by a dog or sit back. If her husband is not, I'll wait for her. I'll wait for her husband. In that moment, she will secure that child.
True, very true. So I think we're able to answer that question well. Without any other question, I think I would bring this to the close. But first, now, do you think there are any more points you would like to make that I wasn't able to ask you or you weren't able to make during the conversation? So you just have a minute or two to talk about it.
Okay. I think when we talk about the fact that more men commit violent crime, and most times, victims of this violent crime are women. It all boils down to the fact that damaged people damage people.
True.
So we have a society that has put so much weight on men, and they are staggering under these burdens. And these expectations are ever increasing and ever burdening, and they have no escape. So most times, if you look at situations where a partner is violent in a relationship, most times, often than not, it boils down to the fact that there is no effective communication. He resorts to violence. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to say, society needs to change. Society needs to evolve. Men have to first, because it's an issue about men. Men have to be honest with themselves and deal with this issue first. By the time we as men take responsibility for our emotions, we are honest with ourselves. We understand that our masculinity is innate. Our masculinity is not affected, does not change because of the environment. It will help us become better men. And when we become better men, we are able to look out for other men. We are able to checkmate toxic men in society.
Yeah.
Women would also, I said women also have a role to play. They would, the whole perception has to basically change. And then we ingrain it into the upcoming generation, and then it makes a better society.
All right. Thank you very much, Nandi. Thank you. So to our audience who are here, probably just 10 people, I appreciate you all. Remember, this is Agree to Disagree Talk Show, where we talk about controversial issues and deliberate on them. You can reach out to us at a2d.talkshow@outlook.com by email. And you can donate to us on our link. I would share the link with everyone here. I pretty much, I'm sure I have everybody's email address on this call. If you are new here, you can do well to drop your email address to me privately on the chat. But however, we are a startup as regards to talk show, and we will keep talking about controversial issues. Next week, we have a topic on socialism versus capitalism, left or right. So we have someone who's going to be speaking on it. And I invite everyone here to also be here next week. And thank you very much, Nandi, thank you very much. Noya, I think Noya is on this call. She was the one that suggested you. Noya, I appreciate you. And thank you very much, Nandi. And I hope to see you all next week. This is recorded. You get it on our talk show, on our podcast, on any platform, A2D Talk Show. Please remember the name A2D Talk Show on every platform you can ever think about. From SoundCloud to iTunes to Google Podcasts and Spotify. And we hope that you give us good ratings. And for those of you that would like to donate to us, I really appreciate it. But the best thing you can do for me is to share this podcast. The best thing you can do for me is to share this talk show. Thank you very much, Nnamdi. And have a good weekend and a good night. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Night. It was a pleasure.
Yeah.